your son's name, Jesus Christ, for beside you there is no other God. Amen. The Bible is the word of God, and all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in right living or righteousness. We're sticking with the same thesis, Philippians 3:10, but I added some other things to it. This is an amazing thing that's going on here. Because we just saw how Jesus is beginning his ministry. Last week we saw how he just crossed over the Jordan. And when you cross over the Jordan, that means you die to self. And then you're starting a life of service unto the Lord. And that's what that means. So a lot, when I see a lot of children getting baptized, it just sometimes makes me uncomfortable, because I don't know if they understand what that is. A lot of people want that to happen, but they don't know. They don't want the children might, and perhaps they do. We don't know that. So that's, but that's what that means. And so put a cup of water there, or a glass of water, because the Lord is going to, in this story, I just want to give you a heads up. We're going to go see how he starts collecting his disciples. This is the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. He's 30 years old, and at this point, when he crosses over, he has 3 years, and then he will die. But that's a picture of us crossing over as well. And so Philippians 3:10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. To know him, to know that, and I think this is mighty deep. We're not studying Philippians, but I'm thinking when we get there, we'll go over this again, and it's very amazing what the Lord is doing here. Because look, I put there also the drink offering, because remember, the water is turned into wine. And so, being made conformable unto his death. And the drink offering is when you offer a sacrifice unto the Lord. And that's referred to as the drink offering. So, I'm just going to give you a heads up. And all this, look at this, is being made. This is God. God is doing this thing. He is doing it through us. Because in the verse that precedes this, it says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. And look at what it says here. The righteousness which is of God by faith. And I tell you, that takes a lot of thinking through to know that, because we're sinners, and there's no way I could have ever found the Lord on my own. I could have never found him, and even the work I do now, sometimes I want to take the credit for it, but it's of God. It is God. It is his gift. Faith is a gift that comes from him. And there's so much there, folks. But I just thought I'd touch upon this. And that's the thesis, being made conformable. Now, we stayed here last week. We stopped here where it says that after 40 days, Jesus has just come back from the three temptations. Jesus comes back. Now, Jesus was baptized. He went into the wilderness. And then he comes back, and it says this in verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, that's after 40 days, and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world, the sin of the world, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me, a man, this is God, this is Jesus, and he's the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. And he says, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water, and John bear record saying. Now, so he says, the reason I'm here is to point him out. John the Baptist was a holy man. He says, I'm here to point him out to you. Now look at this. When we were first created, we had a body, and the Lord blew his breath into our nostrils. And when those two things come together, you become a living soul. That's the first Adam. That's the way creation happened. But we know that Adam sinned and therefore lost the spirit. He died spiritually. And therefore the connection with God is lost. And when we're born like that. We're born without a connection with God. We might be religious, but the connection is not there. And many people think because they're religious, they got the real thing. No, you don't. You're religious. Now, look at what it says here. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. Now, here you have this man that's coming. He's just like us. He has a body. He's got a soul. But it says, John saw the Spirit returning or descending upon him. This is like the original way, the way God designed us. Jesus is like this. And it says, and it abode upon him. The Spirit descended upon him, and it stayed upon him. It stayed. So this is the new creation, folks. This is a whole new race of people. Look at this. Exodus 29:6. And thou shalt put the mitre upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre. Then shalt thou take the anointing oil, and pour it upon his head, and anoint him. The Jews knew this. They were given this in Exodus. This is what's going to happen to the man that is coming. And that's the symbolism behind it. You anoint him with oil. The oil is the Holy. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, they knew that. So the Jews were the only ones that were prepared. So when John the Baptist, who is a priest, points him out, he says, this is he. This is the one that's going to be anointed. He has the Spirit of God on him. These are the only people that knew it. So this is the one. So he's got the Spirit. And he says in verse 33, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me. He says, John was sent by God. That was his purpose. His whole purpose was a voice crying in the wilderness. He says, I was sent to baptize with water. But he says, the same said unto me. See, he's baptizing with water. But he says, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. So Adam, at the beginning, he was made a living soul. But this man that's coming, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. He will immerse you, submerge you, just like putting you into, like you're placed in the water back here. He will place you into the Spirit of God. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. John is pointing him out. This is he. This is the one. Of all people, John the Baptist would have known. He's a priest. He's a Levite. This, I saw it, he says. And folks, the way the Bible is written, many people say, well, the Bible is written, it's just a legend, it's just a story. No, it's not. The people that wrote the Bible, they were eyewitnesses. The Bible was written 60 to 70 years after Jesus died. Well, actually, 30 years. It was written 50 to 60. The Gospels were written 50 to 60 years, 58 to 60 A.D., and Jesus died 33 A.D. or so. So 20 years or so. So these were eyewitnesses. There was a lot of people living. I saw, he says, I bear record. this is the Son of God. So it points them out. Now look at this. In 1 Corinthians 15:45 says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. That's Adam. He was made a living soul. But this one, the last Adam, was made a quickening spirit to make alive. He's the one that's going to make us alive again, because he's going to put the spirit back inside of us. But he's referred to, in 1 Corinthians 15:45, he's referred to as not the second Adam. We get tempted to say that. There was the first Adam, and Jesus is the second Adam. No. He is the last. Because it would imply, if you say second, it would imply third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, and so on. But that's not the case. You have a first Adam, and you have the last Adam. A whole new race of people. And that's what we are, because he's come to put the Spirit back into us. We're a whole new creation. That's what this says. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he says, behold the Lamb of God. So John the Baptist, he had a collection of people that were coming to him, disciples. And when John the Baptist points Jesus out, there, some of his disciples are looking at Jesus, and he's going to lose them to Jesus. They're going to go to Jesus. Two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he says, behold the Lamb of God. He points them out, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. So they switched places. They're following John the Baptist, and now they switch. This is the beginning. This is the beginning of this new race of people. The disciples, or this will become the apostles. But look what it says. They heard him speak. What did he say? This is the Son of God. And they heard, this is the Lamb of God. And they followed him. So they switched. This is now switching over. But something amazing is happening here, folks, because I keep stressing this. The Jordan River is very important, and this is why topography in the Bible or maps are very important, because they teach you so much. When you cross over, God is saying something here. You're dying to self, and Paul points this out. He says, I count everything I've done dung, but I want to be found having won Jesus. You can't do, God is not impressed with anything you bring to the table. It's got to be him, his righteousness. So this is what that means. When you cross over the Jordan, you die to self. That's got to be stressed out. Stressed, because it's going to take a lifetime of dying. Because we think, After you become a Christian, you live for a span of time, and you start thinking that, you know, you're pretty good, you know, you're pleasing God, you're getting back into the old ways. You can't do that. You can't start giving credit to the self. The self is dead. And you know, this is why we get disappointed when we sin. He says, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Of course you shouldn't have done that. The only reason you did that is because you're following the self. You're thinking that you're going to keep yourself pure and clean. You're keeping yourself. You don't. It is God. This is why he gets all the glory. It is his sanctification. It is his work. Amazing, folks. Look, then Jesus turned and saw them following and says unto them, what seek ye? This is going to be the first two apostles. And Jesus turns around and he says, what are you looking for? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? Jesus asks, what are you looking for? And they call him Rabbi. And to me, that's instructive, because that means he's a teacher. Rabbi means teacher. And if you fall in line under somebody and you give him respect, because he's going to teach you. This is rabbi, teacher. But you know, folks, I think that he's saying the same thing to us. He's saying the same thing to all the world. What are you looking for? What is it that you're looking for? And if you become aware of the Bible, like they had, the only thing they had was the Old Testament. But again, this is why the Jew, and I became overnight, I tell you, I became a Jewish lover or Israel lover. Because how else are you going to know about God? You can't. Except by the written word. And the old written word, the Old Testament, these people, these apostles, these disciples that were following John, they were looking for more insight into the word. Because we'll see how they're referring to him as, are you the one? Evident, who taught them that? They picked it up from the old scriptures. And so they say, well, where do you live? When he says, what are you looking for? He says, where do you live? I think it means like, I want to hang around you some more. I want to know more about you. And I think that's what that means. And that, I think, is the same thing that he says to us. If you're a disciple, that's what it means. You want to know more. And that's, in fact, that's why you're here. You know, you come to Sunday school for that reason. We all do. when we listen to preachers, programs of religious nature, whatever, Bible, scripture, exposition, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for more insight. You want to know more. And you become the disciple. And that's what God wants. He says unto them, come and see. When they ask him, where do you live? He says, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So they want to know where he lives. And we know he didn't have a place. He probably just stayed out in the country. So he says to them, come and see. And I think it's the same thing he does to us. He does the same thing to us. Come and see. I mean, when I first started reading the Bible, I was curious. Whoa, what is this? What does this mean? What is that? And so you start looking. You want to know, how can I get to this information? And it says it was about the 10th hour. So it was at, and I can't help but think, the 10th hour means about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay, for us. The 10th hour was the day as far as spent. And it's always like that. Because I wish I would have become a Christian when I was 7 years old. I didn't. I became a Christian when I was 28. So, but I'm happy. But I wish I would have happened earlier. When I see little people, I says, oh, to be in their shoes. They're starting a lot younger. They got so much more because the day is far spent. So one of the two who speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So who's writing this letter or this gospel is John. So he says he's one of the ones that was there. Of the two, John is the other. See, he says John, I believe John was there. He was along with Andrew, and John was the younger one. So this is why he refers to Andrew as the first. One of the two which heard him was speak and followed him was Andrew. And we're told he was Peter's brother. So here you have the first two disciples, Andrew and John. You have the first two disciples that are following Jesus, and they want to know about him because they says, where do you dwell? Where do you live? Where can we find you? And we be taught about you. He findeth his own brother. Who's that? Andrew finds his own brother, and we know who he is. His own brother Simon, and says unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. So see, that tells you, if you find something, that means you were looking. That's amazing, folks. So he says, he finds Simon, his brother. Andrew found his brother Simon. We have found the Messiah. And at first, that's what we think. We think that we have found God. You know, when you first, because when I was reading the Bible for the first time, I says, wow, what does it say? What does that mean? I'm reading the Bible. And I think that I'm finding him. I think that I'm finding God. But in actuality, it was him. A long time ago, even before, years before I would read his word, he was already putting breadcrumbs, and I was following the breadcrumbs. I can take you back. I have a testimony, folks, that's a lot longer than 30 minutes, you know, because I can tell you back at the stories. I can tell you it was him that was already leading me. We think we have found him. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. He says that. If you start looking for him, because many people say that. They say, well, what about the Aborigines? What about the people of the jungle? Is anybody, how can they get saved? That says, God gives them light. The more light you seek, the more light you get. That's the way he works. But if you look for him, you will find him. You know, and he brought him to Jesus. Who's that? Andrew brought Simon to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of God. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Folks, the minute you become a Christian, a change occurs. It just starts to happen. It just, like he changes his name to Simon to Cephas, which is a stone, Pedro, or Peter. Piedra is rock, Pedro is Peter in Spanish. So, but a change occurs, and I can tell you in my life, I mean, something started happening. I remember the first day I went to go get a haircut as a Christian, and I walk into this little barber shop. I think it was one or two chairs in there, and there was only one man in there getting a haircut, and I walk in, and I just went to the coffee table that was there. It was always filled with men's magazines, Penthouse, Playboy, Phil and Streams, and things like that, and I just went for the girly magazine. I went to go grab it, and the man that was getting his haircut, white hair, and he had his eyes like this because he was trimming him, and he was looking straight at me. And when I went to grab the magazine, I noticed him looking at me, and I switched, and I grabbed that Filson string. I thought, well, what happened? Because his eyes were piercing. I mean, something had changed. Something has already begun. See, the change had already begun. A change happens. And if you become a Christian and there's no change, I would go back and relook at that thing, because a change happens. And look at this. Thou art the son of Jonah. You are the son of Jonah. Son of Jonah means dove, which is indecisive, the way a dove flies. I don't know if you've seen them, how they fly. But it can also mean swampy, boggy ground. He says, you're no longer going to be that. You're going to be a rock. Wow, it happens. And Peter didn't know that, but the Lord knew. He's going to become a rock. So a change does happen. But look at this. He first findeth his own brother. That means he found his brother. Andrew found his brother, Simon. John, that means he too found his brother. And that's James. And now you have four disciples. This is the beginning. Four disciples. They're over there. They crossed over with Jesus. Why? Why do I say that? Because John was on the other side of the Jordan baptizing. And when Jesus crossed over, these guys were there with John. And so they crossed over too. So that means that we cross over. When we cross over, this is what's happening, folks. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and says unto him, follow me. There it is. It's the Lord that's finding us. It is he from way eternity past. It is he, and that's the doctrine of election. Folks, that's way, into the woods. We're not covering that, but I tell you what, I believe in that. Although at the same time, I have a will, and God uses that as well. Difficult doctrine to get into, but it's there, it's real. The doctrine of election, because he findeth Philip and says, follow me. So now you're going to have five people. And look at this, John 6:44, which we'll cover later. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. So we're all drawn to God. It is him. This is why he should get all the credit. And I will raise him up at the last day. And so from, he's going to be going into Galilee, where he's going. Okay, he crossed over, and the disciples, I don't know if all these were there and they crossed at the same time, because it says he findeth Philip. And he's going to go, because Philip is from Bethsaida. It says, look what it says here. The following day, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and says unto him, follow me. So Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Interesting. Andrew and Peter are also from Bethsaida. And if you go to Israel, folks, this is what they'll show you. They'll say, that's Peter's house. I saw it. And I thought, I don't think so. Because this is Capernaum. And this is that place right there. They say, that's Peter's house. I says, yeah, but this is Capernaum. About 5 miles from here, that's Bethsaida. That's where Peter and Andrew were from. So the Jewish people put up these things there because they don't believe in the New Testament. So that's why. But you can see how they point these things out. This is why it's so important. There was a Chinese girl there. She was following me. And she says, how do you know all these places? I says, because I was asking the bus driver. I says, are we going to stop at Bashan? He says, yes, we will stop at Bashan. I says, oh, great. How long are we going to be there? He says, not more than 20 minutes. I says, good. I just need to know because I want to run and take pictures. And so she says, how do you know these places? I says, I read the Bible. They're in the Bible. And so so from there on, she was following me around. She says, you're better than the tour guide. I says, well, they're in the Bible. If you read the Bible, they're there. But look what it says here. Now Philip findeth Nathanael and says unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. See, they were all looking. They were all looking for... Of course, that tells me that they read the Old Testament. All these guys, although they were fishermen and regular people, they were not from... Look at where they're from. They're from Galilee. They're from the boondocks, the sticks. And so... Here they says, we have found him. And of course, we know that. And you know where Nathanael is from? Cana. Interesting. That little city, it's amazing because it's got so many things going on there. I'm preparing you because we're probably not going to get there. I know. There we're together. Look what it says in John 21:2. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee. So the Bible tells you, Nathanael was from Cana and the sons of Zebedee, the two others of his disciples. They were. This is towards the end of John. But I just put that verse there to tell you where Nathanael is from. He's from Cana. And what happens at Cana? That's where the water is turned into wine. Wow. And Nathanael says unto him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? There's another one. These guys search the scriptures. He says, and there's nothing written about Nazareth. All the prophets are from the south. And then Philip says, he says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip says, come and see. Check it out. Be a Berean. Check the scriptures. Check it out. Come and see. And that's what we ought to do. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and says unto him, behold an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. This guy is an Israelite. So the Bible is pointing things out to us. I tell you what, the Bible is written in such a way that not only does it tell you a story, but there's things that are hidden in the Bible that you got to pay attention to, because he's telling you other things as well. Nathanael says unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee. See, from eternity past, he knows us. He knows us. He said, how do you know me? It says, before that Philip called thee, when you were under the fig tree, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And that's interesting as well, because the fig tree is a symbol of Israel. And in the Bible, if you look at that reference, under the fig tree, that's a good life. If every man had his own vine and his own fig tree, you got it made. You know? That was the promise that was made to them. Everybody would have their own vine, vineyard, and fig tree. Look what it says in Micah 4:4. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make him afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. This is found throughout the scripture. So we're getting into something here very special, folks. And it's timely, because we're not going to get into it until next week. And this is concerning the water being turned into wine. And seeing a fig tree, and look what it says. Here's another verse that tells you the reference of the fig tree is concerning Israel. And seeing a fig tree far off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. And this is concerning Israel. When God came, Israel was like this. No fruit. They were given the law. And this can be concerning us too. We have the entire word of God, folks. The entire counsel of the Lord God. We have it. And he says, but it should be producing fruit in us. I think this is what he's saying. And I went too fast. Let me go back. Mine is Philip. And he was a Bethsaida. And we covered that. I went too far. Wow, I really switched back quite a bit. And says unto him, when knowest thou me? And Jesus answered, before that Philip called thee, before I saw you were under the fig tree. And the fig tree, like I said, points out to Israel. And when Jesus comes and he looks for produce or fruits, he finds nothing but leaves. And Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. See, he's the one that referred. See, this is why Nathanael, I had to go back and show you this first, because Nathanael is so important. He's the first one that's going to refer to Jesus as the King of Israel. The first one. Thou art the Son of God. And Jesus says, Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he says unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of God. He says, you're going to see more than this. You're going to see concerning. And look what he says here. In Genesis 28:12, And he dreamed a dream, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached unto heaven. And behold, the angels of God descending, ascending, and descending upon it. And this is a good place to stop, folks, because Jesus is the one. He says, you're going to see more. You're going to see the angels ascending and descending. That's Jesus. He is God. He is the ladder. And nobody comes to the Father. It says, and Jesus says unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the ladder. And this gets us into the perfectly, because next time we'll deal and we can switch to another thesis, because we'll switch. I'll show you the water being turned into wine, folks. This is perfect. And so we'll stop here. I just wanted to show you the collection of the first six disciples. And that number is very important, six. Because there's going to be six jars of water there that Jesus is going to convert to wine. We'll stop there. Lord God, thank you for your kindness and goodness towards us. Lord, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. And Lord, help us now to prepare our hearts and our minds to receive your word. We ask these things through your Son's name, Jesus Christ, for besides you there is no other God. Amen.